Jones is one and radiant with light. Share the fruits of peace, our hearts of goodness luminous and bright. If people hear and see how hearts and hands can find in giving unity, may their minds awake to great compassion, wisdom, and to joy.
Hello, my friend. I often reference the weather here, and I just stepped outside to send this reflection onto Greg Locamelli. Greg Locamelli and I are having fun with this, and I hope you are today. It's chilly here in the Northeast, and you'll see some pictures of a warmer day here at the mountain just 2 days ago in bright light. It's a little overcast, as we say, of the East, and still, though, it's a wonderful time in paradise. John Cianca, a good friend of ours, a physician from Houston, a Bonnet grad, someone who's been with us here at the mountain for years, off and on, from Houston, when he lived in Rochester, traveled here this weekend to visit with our healthcare professional students to offer us a very rich, reflective overnight. There's so much I could say about that, but what strikes me now is what John said just a few minutes ago down in the House of Peace before I came up here. He'd been walking in our backwoods. Maybe you've taken an autumn walk somewhere. Maybe you've been around a reservoir in your neighborhood or visited a park, walked your dog if you happen to have one, or fed your parakeet. I don't know if they're still popular in houses. Maybe you're sitting on your deck for one or two of the last times if your area is chilly at this point. Ours is. I'm outside partly for reception. The cell phone works best here. Calling you again from the backwoods of Allegheny County. And John just emerged from the woods with a big smile on his face, and he said, it's like paradise here. And I know he had a sense of the woods, and he talked on about it, but then he also said, this is the first time I've ever been here alone. It was striking to me because the smile on his face, as he spoke to me, was something he communicated to another person, and that was the sense of solitude that was his, the treasuring of a space that was especially his today. My interpretation is his recognition that this is all here for him. Often we're here with groups, and we were last night, a wonderful group of 27 or more of us in the chapel late into the evening, a bonfire that lasted, I understand, until 1:30. I left it around 1. And some of the students were up speaking until after 2. And yet today, once again, there's a treasured sense of quiet here. Once in a while, it might happen in our homes or, again, maybe in your backyard or a park that's busy or games have been played there, but now you're able to walk or you think even as I say this, oh, I know a spot I love. And it's usually full of people. Today you might be there, maybe not even walking there, but because you're in the car sitting somewhere, you might let your heart be large and travel into the spaciousness that is ours very often in our visual memories of where we love to be. John brought to me the backwoods in his conversation. The word solitude is he relish the colors and the woods there and trees on the ground and the canopy of the black cherry just opened for me, within me, what paradise truly is. And so a few words about it, lending it to you, not as thought, but as pattern and practice in all of our lives. Paradise comes from an ancient word, and you may know this, a beautiful word from Mesopotamia, from an ancient people who even that knew that to gather a space and create protection and have light and dark there and possibly a place to sit, sometimes elaborate, sometimes simple, sometimes beside a noble's house, a place to contemplate, we would say, to let the worlds that we live in come together, the spaces and time, possibly work and family life, where we would draw aside, rest a bit, find refreshment. And quite wonderfully, again and again, an encounter. John brought me into his encounter of solitude, and indeed we encountered each other in the richness of our own memories, standing there, each of us recalling the woods he was only a few minutes before, walking in and being refreshed, finding rest, and lending to me the encounter of the trees and the breeze that was there, and now one that's caressing me here. I look up from where I am, and I can see the last of lovely maple leaves, and some even falling at the moment that I say this. Ash now cleared of their leaves, and yet noble and wonderful. And as I shared the last time, I know, though I don't see them from here in detail, buds ready for another season. Paradise is a place where all of this is held in our hearts and ready to receive more. Often in our tradition or our sense, it is a distant place. It's the place that would be of our reward, we might say. And we would say, won by Jesus Christ, possibly if we're Christian, we might say, in the rich sense of that, given to us by a loving God. And then to know it is now, in the encounter of a smiled or friend, or listening to students last night, even a stranger on a subway. One young man of Chinese origin who was brought here by his family, I believe as a baby, they from China, living in New York City, grew up to traveling subways. And he told a profoundly poignant story of coming into one of the cars, traveling off to, I believe, grammar school. And coming upon a man putting a cup out who was begging. I would say one child with another, one quite needy person with another who had need of protection and care as a child, and yet, as he lingered a moment, realized that this person did need care, and he reached in his pocket and I think placed his lunch money in the cup or glass or... And all of a sudden, subway car full of people began to respond similarly. Ah, I would say a paradise. A place where bounty arose because the reflection, the encounter showed promise, fulfilled, need answered, place of encounter. And last night, story told to many others. And too, someday might travel in another city or another place from these backwoods and find someone by the wayside or someone right before them who needs care. But you know, it's only up from our own rich places, actually, our restfulnesses and encounters, the place where we've been loved or longed for love for another, that we might love, reach out. And I believe it's not first from our moral teachings, though they're essential, but it's from wisdom, the reality that we've been loved. So October 14th, whether that was yesterday or weeks ago, the reading read through the world for Eucharist that Sunday, this Sunday, is Wisdom 7:7-11. Yet all good things come together to me in her company, and countless riches at her hands. This her, this she, this woman is wisdom, bounty, because of splendor. She is splendorous. She is wonderful in the midst of poverty and need when we rest a moment and find it, and then walk among others that way. The gospel reading that way is striking for it. We hear it in Mark's gospel, again, with always, as Mark does, with a social message. And so Jesus, in Mark 10:17-13, is challenged by a Pharisee, and he challenges him back. Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do for paradise? And Jesus, to keep it brief here and let you go into your own paradise or your need for one, says, why do you call me good? And then as they get into their encounter, Jesus takes them into the story, and we know it, I believe you might remember it, of the Good Samaritan, the person on the side. to walk by. One a foreigner, a stranger, a child of another nation in our now country, noted for welcome but sometimes cold, reached to somebody, cared for them, placed a coin in the hand of another to care for them. My friends, to keep it brief and welcome you into paradise, I'd say go for a walk or sit in your chair today. Rest, be refreshed, and encounter the solitude that is the promise of all the other promises. A paradise is that garden of protection, and it is here now. It is the place of shadow that it indicates light. It's the place of learning because we took a moment. It could be standing somewhere, in a subway, on a campus, in a kitchen with kids around you. When you know when it seems like there's nothing else to give, deep in your heart, there's the presence, the bounty. Ah, there is paradise. Francis told us, and I mentioned it here again as a closing, in his letter to the faithful, to his early brothers, let us always make a home, a dwelling place within us for the one who is Lord God Almighty. And so there are the fountains of living water, as we often mention here. There indeed is paradise. It's in the backwoods. It is our garden. It's in the place where we encounter it so that we might open its riches to others. Solitude helps us smile. And John did when he came from the woods today. And I did when I heard John, a busy doctor from Houston, say, ha, this is paradise. I've never been here alone before. And yet, in that intimate time when friend met friend, I knew he was going to go back to care for others. And his love for me in solitude sends me from this paradise, even now with you, also to go care for others. Welcome, my friend, into that refreshment, and listen to the richness that's in your heart, and share it with the hungry and the needy around you, if you might. For wisdom is splendorous. She is rich and bountiful. Visit her in your inner garden and share paradise with others. Peace and all good things to you. Dan Riley, grateful that we spent time like this. And thank you so much to Greg and his family who allow him and I to do these things too, that you and I might find peace and offer it to others.
May goodness find reward. May all who sorrow leave their grief and pain. May this boundless light dispel the darkness of their endless night. Because our hearts are one, this world of pain turns into paradise. May all become compassionate and wise. May all become compassionate and wise. May all become compassionate and wise. May all become